It's my privilege to introduce as our speaker tonight, Pastor Randy Patton. For the last 13 years, Randy has served as the executive director of the National Association of Nuthetic Counselors and has led that organization to new heights of excellence, and we're so thankful for his ministry there. Randy's also served the Lord as a pastor. He served the Lord as a state representative of churches and has done it so well in each place that God has called him. Randy's also a wonderful friend of this church for many, many years, both while serving as a pastor in Fort Wayne and then later serving with the Indiana Fellowship of Regular Baptist Churches and even as NANC, wherever Randy and Cindy were living at the time. On Mondays, Randy would travel here and serve on our counseling center staff, and he helped us build this. He helped Pastor Good and Dr. Smith and was an important part of many people receiving biblical counseling training and biblical counseling help. And so our church family loves Randy Patton for sure. In addition to carrying a heavy load of ministry at NANC and leading that important organization, Randy's also given countless hours in the development of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. And that says something to you about his heart. He doesn't just care about his thing. He cares about the kingdom of God and advancing what God is doing through a number of organizations. And so Randy has participated sacrificially in the development of the BCC. He even led NANC and the NANC board to give $50,000 to help the Biblical Counseling Coalition get started. And that's not because NANC has a lot of money, but that's because that organization wanted to be on the front end of promoting unity and collegiality and harmony among those who are involved in the biblical counseling world. And my prayer and hope is that God is going to bless NANC significantly as a result of their desire to be involved in the front end of this effort. So for all those reasons, I'm really glad to introduce to you tonight my dear friend Randy Patton.
Well, thank you, Brother Steve. Good evening, everybody. It's a wonderful time to be involved in biblical counseling, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're here and that you're able to be a part of all that God is doing? The assignment I've been given is to speak to you in this closing session, and I've chosen to speak to you on the subject of when you feel like quitting. The reason for that is I have found personally that conferences like this can be both simultaneously an amazing high and can be an amazing low. What I mean by that is you can come and just find your heart lifted toward Christ and His Word with renewed enthusiasm because of the clear teaching, the wonderful worship, the fellowship with other believers and everything. And all of those kind of things can combine to motivate us to love Christ more and want to serve Him more effectively. But at the same time, it's real easy to find yourself thinking that and being intimidated by the apparent success of everybody you talk to. Seems like every speaker is more fluent than you are. Every counseling case that you hear about turns out better than most of yours do. Every church member you talk to seems to have a church that's being more effective than yours is. And even the successes of others that you rejoice in your heart of hearts, can turn out to be intimidating. Another reason a conference like this can be both a high and a low is because of the amount of material that's presented. I think it's usually, typically about Wednesday, I notice in the classes I'm teaching that people's eyes are beginning to glaze over, you know. There's just so much coming. We always hear it every year that it's like drinking out of a fire hose, you know. And while we love the content, we love the outlines and the material, and we get a thought about how much this can be helpful. But there comes a point, doesn't it, where you find yourself thinking, ay, 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 there is so much, and I don't have enough RAM. I'm not going to get this. Just the amount of material and the knowledge of others can seem to be so intimidating. I think sometimes a conference like this can also be not just a high, but we can be a low because of the personal conviction of sin. Haven't you found yourself being challenged from the Word multiple times, convicted? And there's a time, there's a potential for us at times to just say, Lord, I know You're a gracious God, but I got so much to clean up. I've got so much growing and changing to do, I don't think you can use me anymore. And you can find yourself with more knowledge and maybe at a point where you're questioning if you have the skills to even use it. You know, sometimes a conference like this, at this point in the conference, you know, the last night we're together, can be a time when many of us begin wondering just about the level of commitment, and our commitment begins to wane because though the conference is winding down, our minds are already starting to turn to what we're going to face when we go back home. And for many, we're going back to strained relationships, tough family lives, tough financial situations, and there's just a lot of things that would just make you say, who is sufficient for these things? Well, I've been there numerous times, and a passage of Scripture that God has used to help me over and over again is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This passage is frequently used when we're seeking to evangelize someone. I oftentimes will use it in a counseling case when I'm trying to give people hope. But tonight I want you to think that while this passage is certainly a passage that has an evangelistic appeal to it, an evangelistic tone, I want you to consider that if this passage is true, if what Christ said is, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If that verse is one that we can teach to a non-believer and invite them to come to Christ, if that verse is true for somebody who is dead in their trespasses and sin, then it's true for somebody who's been born again. If it's true for somebody who's at enmity with God, then it's true for somebody who's been born again by God. If this is true for people who are aliens and strangers, then it's true for those of us who are the children of God. I want you to think tonight with me about how this passage relates to you and me when it comes to the matter of our tendency to feel like I can't go on, I'm ready to quit. I've been struck by the fact that Christ invites people to come who are weary. The word that's used there seems to place the emphasis on things that for which we are primarily responsible. And like non-believers, sometimes we as believers can find ourselves being weary because of the load of personal sin and its guilt that we're carrying or the continuing results of it. The guilt may have been dealt with. We may have confessed it to Christ. We may have confessed to appropriate people. But there's the lingering results, the broken relationships, the lasting consequences of sinful thinking and sinful behavior, decisions we've made in the past that contribute to our load in life. I think we can find ourselves being weary as well because we live in a sin-cursed world. Have you noticed how discouraging it is to watch the news? And because we live in a sin-cursed world, there's a weariness that can come with that. You know, we find ourselves living in a world that seems to be becoming more and more anti-Christ and anti-Christian. The values, the things that we would love and treasure, seem to be more and more the object of ridicule. And there's a degree of weariness, I think, that comes with that. You know, Christ also invited those who are not just weary, but those who are heavy laden to come to him. This word refers particularly to people who've put a load on you. Not something for which you're personally, but somebody else has put a load on you. I think it's referring to maybe things like ungodly family members who put loads on us of expectations and ridicule and teasing because of our faith. For some of you, it may be an employer who takes advantage of your Christian faith and your intentions to try to do what's right. It may be coworkers who seek to get you to compromise spiritually in an effort to tear down your faith. It may be neighbors. The load that some of us may be carrying, it may be that of a rebellious child or a former spouse.